time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Puts the snap down. The kick is on the way, and Brett Lawther makes it 3-0. Riders takes the shotgun snap. They're going to throw, and he's going to go downtown. That is caught by Jack, and he scores! Touchdown, Saskatchewan! Cornelius scrambling to his right across the 40, 45, 50, outside the numbers, still running, Ryder 40, Ryder 30, Ryder 25, and the former Oklahoma State Cowboy looking like Barry Sanders. Mitchell to the left, and Cornelius keeps and pushes behind a mass of white, green, and gold, and the Edmonton Elks dodge a bullet, score a touchdown. Flag is in the air, and a ball's in the air down the right side, down deep, and this will be Mitchell, and he's going to score! All the way for a touchdown. Dylan Mitchell got in behind Nick Marshall. Kick going left to right. Castillo's kick is on the way. End over end to the upright. And he hit the upright. Turnabout is fair play as he looks on in disbelief. Ryan the punt to Alford, who stands to our left at the 30. Five, it got blocked. The ball got blocked. And it's rolling around at the 26-yard line. The Saskatchewan Roughriders special teams come up huge. Cornelius looking downfield. He's going to lug it to the Rider sideline. Oh, what a move by Taylor Cornelius.
Wow.
You've got to be kidding me. What a play as he danced around a tackle, and the 6'5" guy looked like he was 5'6". Cornelius, and he goes down in a rare quarterback sack. Great job there by Charbel DeBeer. It's 23-17 for the Edmonton Elks. Cody swings it out to the left side, complete here on the hitch to Jones. Jones up the left side, 35, 30, and he's forced out of bounds. Cody looking, throws down the middle, it's caught. Kylan Moore on the soft spot of the zone, and he'll take it inside the 10. Cody looking, throws, touchdown!
There you go.
Braden Lemieux, touchdown, Saskatchewan! Here's the snap, the hold, the kick is on the way from Castillo, and this one is good. With 24 seconds to go, he knocks it through, and that will bring to a close this football game. Chris Jones, in his return to Edmonton, victorious. The Edmonton Elks beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders 26-24.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to Harvard Studio 620 here for the fifth quarter post-game show. And just let me get my sheets here. Everything's a mess. What's up?
You remember what we talked about?
I know. Just wait a minute. I gotta do some housekeeping before you go off.
I'm not going to go off.
No. So the post-game rewind brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. Some highlights in there. Definitely some lowlights. We talked about it in the pregame show, and you're right, you started to lead into that. We said a lot of fans came here expecting a free space in the bingo card, an easy win, and you said we're not even at the bingo hall, and it proved to be that
way. Look what happened.
Yeah.
Whole time we're playing bingo, the other team's playing chess. I've never seen a game like that where one team consistently does everything they can to keep the opponent in the game, and the other team refuses to capitalize. That was crazy.
Yeah, you look at it, Luke, and you brought this up during the broadcast. I'm just trying to find it here on the fly, so just give me one second here. Possession time, we had the ball more than Edmonton. They outgained us 439 to 311. We gave up 7 quarterback sacks. And we had 3. This is the funniest thing of all, and I don't mean ha-ha funny. The Saskatchewan Roughriders only had three penalties for 30 yards.
Yeah.
Which you're like, okay, that's awesome. That's progress.
Yeah.
Edmonton had 12 penalties for 158 yards. They kicked off from their 10-yard line to give us a short field. We missed on a field goal.
We blocked the punt the very next play, the first up. So we blocked the punt. We're in their red zone. We're in scoring position.
25.
The pursuit, the next offensive call, we lost 2 yards. The referees didn't make them lose. They still gave them ball on the line of scrimmage. They said, no, you guys, try it again.
We'll you're having a tough night. You're having a tough night.
Yeah. Here you go. Second and 10.
Yeah.
Right? Procedure call.
Yeah.
And then a missed field goal. Right? So here's the thing. We're used to seeing the offensive line struggles. That shouldn't be a surprise. But today was exceptional. Logan Bandy, if he's hurt, I don't know if he's hurt, but he shouldn't have been in there today. He was a turnstile today, okay? In that fourth quarter, he was an absolute turnstile. Cody's not going to have an opportunity to throw the football if they're playing with four offensive linemen. And I know I sound harsh, but hey, it is what it is right now, okay? So there's that. We made such a big sort of deal. They shipped Garrett Marino out of here. Lanier's not out there. There's no pressure from the interior right now. It's a struggle on the interior. Charbel DeBeer got himself a sack. That was good. But, again, you know, if you keep throwing crap at a wall, eventually some type of crap's going to stick eventually, right? So they have no pressure on the interior. This is the second game in a row where the defense has looked – they've looked unlike themselves. It's disturbing.
Your leaders are
making mistakes that they aren't on film making prior to these last two games.
I gave them a pass last week because we didn't know how, you know, we said the flu, but they played sickly today in terms of their tackling. It was terrible.
There was terrible tackling, but more importantly, that for the last four seasons in Ryderville, today's situation is exactly what we would have wanted, right?
Yeah.
1 minute left, defense on the field. It would have been locked. It would have been shut. We would have been good. Would have won the game. Today, Taylor Cornelius, you were right. Like, he looked like Josh Allen today.
Yeah, he was
right. That was crazy.
Yep.
But today, there was absolutely no challenge by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on that last drive. And that was their defense. This team is now two games below 500. I don't care if they went to the U Sport West. This team is not winning any playoff games. I promise you that. Mm. I promise you that. They could go play in the XFL in those 450-yard fields, and they won't win a playoff.
Well,
they've got to get it together.
Previous to this game, I would argue with you, but I'm not now.
And listen, this is a professional business. This is a business first. This is a production-based business, okay? There's going to be noise from everywhere calling for somebody to be held accountable, whether it's in the front office, whether it's in the coaching staff. They deserve it today.
Yeah.
They deserve it
today. We got fired.
Normally it was, calm down, guys.
Yeah.
This team deserves the criticism today from the very top all the way down to the bottom. Because today, what happened, and this wasn't an upset today, by the way. Like, people are going to be like, oh, this is shocking. No. No, it would have been shocking if the Calgary Stampeders, it would have been shocking if BC, it would have been shocking if Winnipeg came in and lost this game to the Edmonton Elks. That would have been shocking, because those are teams that are ready to go for the playoffs. This was just two of the worst teams in the Canadian Football League, right, playing each other in the Battle of the Bums, and one of the teams lost.
Well,
this team is not ready to go into the playoffs right now.
Well, these
fans, I don't care if they see Ottawa in Ottawa right now, today, they're losing. They're taking a loss.
Well, these fans showed up for a light show and fireworks, and now they want to see
we got fireworks.
Now they want to see some firings.
Fireworks. Hey, I'll tell you what I would be doing. I would be on the phone right now saying, save the budget. Save the fireworks. We'll use them for Canada Day coming up in Wisconsin. Don't use the fire. Why would you have a fireworks display right now? Why would you do that? I'm not having a fireworks display.
Here's a horrible stat.
Yeah, our record. That's
No, wait. Well, that's
there's
one,
the horrible
that's
stat.
One I'm going to quote. Cody Fajardo has been sacked 54 times this year.
Poor Cody.
The next closest quarterback to being sacked is McLeod Bethel Thompson at 32. That's 22 more. And further to what you were saying, the Riders are 2-7 since July the 14th, which is the worst record in the CFL.
They can't even defend their house against the Edmonton Elk.
We've lost five straight at home.
The Edmonton Elk are four games ahead of schedule. Victor Cui knowingly. We're glad Chris Jones isn't our dad. But listen, you make fun of Chris Jones all you want. Chris Jones' team came in here and put a clinic on today. Chris Jones outcoached every single member of the coaching staff on our side today. All right, that's what happened with Chris Jones. So all these jokes aside, again, this is a production-based business. The Edmonton Elk, who willingly know and understand that this is a tear-down, rebuilding year. They know that. Victor Cui, their president, has done a great job of engaging that fan base, right? They know that they're not in it this year. That team has two less wins than us right now. Just two. We're on the same level as a team that's rebuilding, and this team wasn't rebuilding.
We'll take a break on that note.
This is straight facts.
I know, but I need to take a break.
This is
the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter post-game show. See our buddy Ron and Deb coming in from Calgary. That's dedication, man. Like,
Here's the thing.
Let me finish. They got smiles on their face. They spent the time and the money to drive in here. So if anybody should be bitching, it's those two.
They should refund the fireworks money and hand it out to the fans that had to drive more than half an hour to the game. Right? That's the thing. That's what's discouraging. I was very fortunate to play on this in this organization and watch from 2004 and sort of build up to 2013. You know, where we were getting engaged fan bases. It's hard to come to games like this when you know that's going to be the performance.
Well, you can't win in football now. They say defense wins championships. That's not true anymore. You win championships by having elite quarterback play and a very good offensive line. It's offensive football now. The way it's called, defensively, everything's against defense. So you got to have a good offensive line to win a football championship. And let's be honest, 54 sacks ain't cutting it. And I just can't figure this out. You mean to tell me we can't find any... Like, hey, first of all, I want to give kudos to second straight week to Cooper Richardson, who did a great job at right tackle.
Can we clone Cooper Richardson?
But why did it take so long to get him on the field? That's my first question. My second question is... Can't we find other Cooper Richardsons? There are no other good offensive linemen that are American in the United States of America. Are you kidding me? Now, this is the same country that is Joe Biden and Donald Trump for leadership candidates.
But. I think that it really goes to show sort of what type of business you need to be in at all times. I go back and I look at this team losing Darius Bladick, Philip Blake, and Dakota Shepley.
Right.
They haven't been able to replace that. You have to be prepared for all situations. Every player that plays well for you isn't going to be a 7, 8, 9 year guy, right? Like guys are going right. Like, and this isn't one of the organizations anymore. I hate to say this. But you can't keep people in keep players in Rider Nation anymore just by saying we're the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Nobody cares, right? Like this in 2010, 2011, 2009, 2008, we could keep guys, right? Because guys wouldn't want to leave this fan base. Guys wouldn't want to leave the opportunities. But right now, I mean, what's keeping guys, right? What's the pull? A stadium? Winnipeg's got a nice stadium, right?
Not as nice as this one.
It doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Right. It's not a bunch of Ivory Wind stadiums anymore and then the Riders building.
But it wasn't.
Right? Everywhere is building the infrastructure except Calgary.
What you're referring to is a winning, steady culture, which you guys had between such and such, right?
Yeah. So, again, it's this team right now, if they want to make any noise, they've got to do a complete 180 or 360, whatever you want to call it, but because that's not going to get it done. This team's not ready. This team's not ready to advance past. This team's not ready to advance past the regular season, period.
Well, who are they going to beat?
No, exactly.
That's the question.
Well, right now, nobody.
Who are they going to beat?
This team just got, who do we got next? They got a bye. So that's, at least we won't lose next week. We got a bye. And then who we got?
Hamilton. Sorry. I believe it's Calgary and then Hamilton.
Calgary is coming up, though, right?
Yeah.
Like,
two more times.
They needed this win. I called this a must win all week.
Yeah, me too.
Right? A must win all week. One of the reasons why is because they needed this win. To be a 9-9 team, to see 9-9, they needed this win. I don't see how this team gets to even now. Where do they get it?
If I was a conspiracy theorist, I would have said, you know what? Edmonton's keeping this close for the betting lines, but they're just going to give it to the... Because they tried to give the game to the Riders about four times.
Edmonton had 128 yards of penalties in the first half. And when the first half ended, the Saskatchewan Roughriders were still losing that football game. Child, please. Come on.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, when you give up eight quarterbacks...
That's ridiculous.
Eight quarterback sacks. And you know what? Eight quarterback sacks is high, but that's kind of the norm this year. That's what you're... You know what I mean? You're like...
They came in. I think Edmonton was a minus 15 in the turnover department. Saskatchewan's a plus 2.
Here's another one for
you. That's a huge difference.
If we want to pile on, the Edmonton Elks had been outscored by 149 points in the first half, and they were winning 17-13. Like, there's no way to cut. This is bad.
And again, it's the second game in a row where... And I honestly think the defense, it looks like the defense is just tired.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they've been, for the last year, they had to do it this year. I mean, their backs are starting to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, they can't hold up this whole team anymore. Right? Like, thank goodness we brought Mario Alford in here. Because we'd be dropping the offensive and the special teams categories every game.
We're going to take a break, come back with Coach Craig Dickinson downstairs. This is the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio, The Source, 620 CKRM.
6-24 to the Edmonton Elks, who are 4-10. They've won all their games on the road. Whenever we talk to our head coach after the game, it is brought to you by our good friends over there at KFC. Try their famous chicken sandwich, hot and crispy and classic or spicy. KFC, it's finger licking good. All right, let's go downstairs to our head coach, Craig Dickinson. I don't even know where to start, Coach. I guess initially, what are your thoughts on this loss? Unfortunately, your fifth straight here on home turf.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. You know, we had a really good week of practice. You know, we felt like we were getting our guys back, but we're just not playing well enough. You know, and that was a message in the locker room. That was a message the players had to each other. You know, it was actually a pretty good discussion in the locker room after the game. We just got to get better. We got to get better on offense. We got to get better on defense. We got to get better in the kicking game, and we've got to figure it out fast. So that was the challenge to the guys. Take the week to enjoy yourselves and reconnect with family and friends, but figure out how you're going to be able to put your foot on, you know, on the gas and get better these last five or six games, because right now we're not playing good enough to beat anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point, Coach. And you know, you can add all the Shaq Evans and Kyron Moores and Braden Lenius, two of those guys at touchdowns. What I'm saying is you can have all that, but if you can't block up front, You're going nowhere. Your thoughts on the offensive line? Another 8 sacks against tonight.
Yeah, not a good game. But, you know, it's a combination. It's a combination of the line. It's a combination of the quarterback, to be quite honest. He's moving when he doesn't need to, and he's extending plays, and all of a sudden guys that aren't, you know, in a position to get a sack, get a sack. So we'll look at the film closely, but there's definitely something wrong up front and something wrong with this offense in terms of our chemistry and our ability to protect the quarterback.
Hey, Coach, you know, obviously the problems aren't just on the offensive side of the ball. The last two games, as a matter of fact, it just feels like our defense isn't putting the same things on film that they've been putting on really for the last few years. What's happening there? Is this team tired? Or this defensive unit tired? Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it don't look like we can tackle right now. They're running through us like a hot knife through butter. And not just in the run game. You see the scrambling, the quarterbacks running through us. Yeah, we look bad right now. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We're struggling to get pressure on the quarterbacks. You know, and when they do, you know, when they do escape, we're not tackling the guys like we should. I think our defense is tired. I think we've been playing beat up, and I think it's finally catching up to us. So I don't know what the answer is. Maybe, you know, we can get some fresh bodies in there. But the reality is, you know, there's only so many roster spots, and you just can't flip out your entire team. But right now, we're struggling, and the guys that are out there are trying their best, but it's just not good enough. We're just not playing well enough on all three phases.
Coach, you haven't seen the film, so you can't give me a 100% answer here, but was Logan Bandy hurt, or was just a case of a young guy having an off night? Because he was really struggling there, we thought.
He wasn't hurt, so I don't know. You know, I don't know what they did to get to him, but he wasn't hurt.
All right, and I guess, Coach, I know you're on a break right now, but as you, what are you going to self-reflect on yourself in terms of being in charge of this thing? Because we still have some football to be played.
Oh, yeah,
it's not like your season is done.
We're not throwing the towel in just yet. We ain't done yet, but we got to get better. You know, I can. You know, I felt like we could have stole that game, but it wouldn't have changed the fact that we're still not playing well enough. Even if we win that game somehow, some way, the reality is we're not playing well enough to make a run in the playoffs, and ultimately that's what you want to do. So maybe this is the wake-up call we needed. You know, maybe this sparks some things that maybe we can do to improve the team. I don't know, but I do know this. Playing that way, we won't go very far, and that isn't what we're hired to do, and that isn't the team we're wanting to put out there. So we got to do a better job and figure it out. You know, short, we don't have a lot of time to do it, but we got to take this next week to make some changes and hopefully come out with a better effort in our next game, which is, by the way, Winnipeg. You guys were saying, yeah. Calgary. It's Winnipeg.
Yeah,
it's then Hamilton.
We realized that off air. I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was
You're
listening
going back
to
Winnipeg
for like 10 minutes. you knew I was here, though.
Yeah. Winnipeg. Yes. Winnipeg, Hamilton, Calgary, Calgary.
Yeah.
I know.
How about that schedule? So, I mean,
yeah.
We got to get better fast, or it's going to get ugly. But I think we can. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this group. I still believe in those guys, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Coach, thanks for your time, man. We're going to be joined by Coach tomorrow here, football weekend in Saskatchewan.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to that. That'll be some good news tomorrow, hopefully, seeing some of our Sask teams play tomorrow.
Thanks, Coach. Take care.
You bet, buddy.
Enjoy
see you guys.
Evening. Yeah, enjoy the evening. Yeah, it's... always nice when Coach stops by. He's very accessible and very forthcoming, and that's we can never say say that against him. The guy always asks.
Yeah,
because
it'd be so easy to just
he could be a jerk and say nothing.
Well, he could literally tell Ariel, "I'm not doing the interview today."
Yep.
Right, that's why I'm not a head coach. I wouldn't have done the interview.
No.
The last thing I want to do is talk to Michael Ball and Luke Mullen. Hell no, I'm not. You know what I would have done? I would have put someone else on, different coach. Hey, Moss, get in there.
Yeah, you're in. Hey, Majuri, you sound like me.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break and be back with more. Riders lose 26-24 to the Edmonton Elks on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
fifth quarter postgame show coming to you from Harvard Studio 620, where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have fallen to the Edmonton Elks 26-24, their fifth straight loss on home turf. They're 6-8. They've won two games since July 14th, which is worst in the CFL. All right, so let us head downstairs. Our defensive game star, by the way, our game stars are brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. And we're going to talk with a draft pick from a couple of drafts ago out of Guelph, A.J. Allen, linebacker. They have him listed as a D-end, special teams guy, and he had a block punt today. Welcome to the show, A.J.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll talk about that block punt. Can you take us through that play?
Sure. Coach wanted to pressure him up right there, so he grew up a great play. We knew where the protection would be going, and it was just a matter of, you know, taking the opportunity and running with it. So I saw what I needed to see, got off the ball real quick, and, you know, kept my hands low, kept my eyes low. I had to make up for the Winnipeg one, so I'm glad I made this play.
Yeah, so talk about the art of blocking a punt. What's going, like, where are you aiming for when you're doing that, just for the listeners out there?
For sure. When you're blocking a punt, you know, you're trying your best to keep your eyes low and your hands low. And you do that because you don't want to run into the kicker when you're doing it. So, kept my hands low. I took an angle across his face, but not running into him. Kept my hands low, and got to stay on your feet. Because almost every time you jump off your feet, you were getting running into the kicker or roughing the kicker. So, stayed on my feet, kept my hands low, my eyes low, watched where I was going, watched where my hands were going, and had a great opportunity to make a play.
Did you notice? I noticed John Ryan had got a punt blocked a couple of games ago where it looked like he was standing at about 14, 13 yards. And I noticed that after your block punt, that's kind of the depth he was standing at. Normally, punters stand at about 15 yards. Did you pick up on that in game film?
Not really. It's just in terms of really getting off the ball in any case. 14 or 15 shouldn't matter. If you're getting back there and really going hard every single time coach calls something like that where you're getting off the ball, it's just a matter of doing it and executing. If he was at 15, I think I still would have blocked it either way. I just would have had to take an extra step. And, you know, I think that's just a matter of that. Just really getting off the ball and exploding.
AJ, what's going right for you this year? You seem like you're feeling it out there. You're making some good plays. I'm noticing number 32 out there.
I don't know. I'm just enjoying the moment, man. And you know, got some great teammates, got some great coaches around me, helping me become great. And that's just what it is. Day in and day out, trying to be great and keep chasing that goal, man. One of these days, you're gonna hear my name playing middle linebacker for Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and you know, just keep working towards that goal every day.
That'd be awesome, man. Okay, so let's talk about the defense, because Luke and I were noticing upstairs. Last game, we maybe gave a bit of a pass because we didn't know how bad or the extent of the flu, but today you guys kind of played sickly on defense in terms of broken tackles and contain in the pass rush lanes. Looks like the defense is getting tired. Are we correct in that assumption?
I don't think we're getting tired. It's just forms of execution, you know. We got to play better together instead of playing together selfishly, you know. And that's just a matter of what it is. We got to play better together because we can do it. We have the people in this room and the people in this building to be great and make the plays when we need to make the plays. It's just a matter of actually executing what Coach drew up and, you know, making our tackles, you know, running our feet, keeping contained. You know, keep it inside shade when you're supposed to keep inside shade. Keep them in the pocket when you're supposed to keep it in the pocket. Just a matter of executing, man.
Not going to lie to you, man. Rider fan all my life. Now I get to be the broadcaster. So I've lived here most of my life. So I've watched good football. I've watched bad football. I've watched disappointing football. And you're a polite young man, so I don't want you to be something you're not, okay? But fans, I think, just want to hear that you guys are ticked off. Like, what's the feeling like in the locker room? Like, that, to me, that's an inexcusable loss right now, and you've lost five in a row on home turf. What's the feeling like in that locker room?
Disappointed, angry, frustrated, but also motivated because we know this is not our ceiling. We can do better, and we will do better, not only for us, but for you guys, the fans out there, Rider fans that have been people like that for forever and ever. This isn't us. this won't be us, and we gonna fix it. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter
That's
of time.
That's my dog, AJ Allen, the freelance in the building. Shout out, Will.
There you go. Hey, AJ, thanks for your time, man. Our defensive game star. Enjoy the bye week, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, AJ Allen blocked the punt, and he was our defensive game star. He's the one we, I think we could find. Say what you want to say. Yeah. I'm listening. I'm ready.
Listen.
Well, that's what this is.
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is them. This is them. All this. Yeah, this isn't us. This is. We're remote. No. This is team. Flat out.
We'll take a break. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Riders lose the football game by a count of 26-24. And let's look at some of the stats, if I can call them up here. Cody Fajardo was 20 of 27 for 230 yards and two touchdowns. He didn't have a bad game at all, completed 74% of his passes.
Well,
ran six times for 47 yards, but he was sacked eight times.
I really liked the way he understood what he was doing when he was moving out of the pocket. He was sucking the defenders up, right? And it was actually, there was about four or five plays where he extended a drive because he got the defenders to commit to him. And by doing so, it opened up receivers behind those defenders. But the problem is it's just, again, it's been this whole season, and it's been sort of the knock on Cody and on this offense as well. Doesn't matter what offense coordinator's been there. It's been inconsistent, right? Because there were still some bad parts of what Cody was doing. Again, I think Coach Dickinson referenced him moving around the pocket when he didn't necessarily need to. There were times where he was moving out of the pocket and into pressure. So this team, it's... Again, it's consistency. It's a lot of things, right? So that's why I don't, and I get it. AJ Allen is right. He's speaking for the locker room right now, right? They're disappointed. They're frustrated. But it's not a case of, oh, this isn't us. There's a different team. No, this is the team that
they're human, and I don't want fake mad. But what bothers me is what I heard.
Yeah,
in the
what
background.
Are you mad for?
No, no,
if
no.
You're mad. You be mad. Yeah.
No, what I mean is, I'd like to see guys like you said accountable, ticked off. In the background, we got guys yelling and joking in the background, and I'm not saying you can't be human and you have a bad day at work and you go on with your life, but you guys should be mad. You just got embarrassed on home turf by the second worst team in the CFL, and you can't.
You can barely say that. You don't have a ton of guys that knows what it takes to win a championship, right? I'll tell you this. One of my favorite clips, and I'm a Kobe Bryant fan. You know this.
Yep, me too.
One of my favorite clips with Kobe Bryant was he's sitting. I think it was on. It was on one of the talk shows, and this is when he had his torn Achilles. The Lakers were terrible without him.
Yep.
Okay. And the talk show host goes, hey, check this clip out. And they had won their first game in like 20 games.
Yeah.
And you got Jeremy Lin and a couple other guys. They are on camera celebrating like they had just done something that they were used to doing. They acted like they had won a playoff game. They were talking crap. And they panned back to Kobe. And Kobe was just looking at him, like looking at the talk show host like, these guys have zero clue what it takes to win. And this is the team. I mean, when you get reactions like this, you just got worked by a team that has no business being on the field with anybody. And
well,
you're
let
in
me
there,
stop
oh,
you.
This is my dude. Hey, shout out to AJ Allen. Like, man, come on, dog. Like,
let me stop.
Get right.
Let me stop you, though. You're the guy that said 5 weeks ago that nobody wants to play Chris Jones' team at the end.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you the one thing
if
about
I can
Chris Jones.
Stamp that.
I'll tell you the one thing Chris Jones can do better than probably anybody else in the league, or just as good, is find talent. Taylor Cornelius, they signed him to a 2-year deal. Some announcers, maybe one you work with recently, said that guy was hot garbage. He couldn't throw at anybody but the other team. 13-24. Now, that's not overly impressive, but 237 yards and a touchdown. And he also ran the ball 8 times for 93 yards. Kevin Brown came in averaging 9.1 yards a carry. He had 14 carries for 109 yards, 7.8 yard average. Darrell Walker shows up, the veteran. Big catch to set up the field goal. 9 catches for 109 yards. How about this Mitchell guy they bring, former Viking? 4 catches, 87 yards. They got some football players on that Edmonton team.
They got a couple of interior tackles that can play. Just remember, when Coach Jones got here, when was it, 2016? When was it, 2016?
16.
The Riders were terrible, right? Yeah. Nobody liked Chris Jones. But everybody you talked to in the league over that last third of the season, if you ask them, which is the one team you don't want to see right now, every one of those teams said the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I remember talking to teams about it. I remember talking to teams and guys on the field saying, like, man, like, what do you think? And you just, like, you saw them get better all year.
Yeah.
And this, it's no different now. This is a team that knew what they needed to do. They needed to get some core guys. Like Taylor Cornelius, that looks like a guy reborn, 2-year contract. Granted, it's probably not $500K a year, but it doesn't matter. This is a guy that, I mean, he was headed down the road of Antonio Pipkin.
Yep, and now he feels like he belongs, and he's a guy. Before we go downstairs here, I just want to remind you that our Game Stars are brought to you by our friends at Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. Write these Game Stars down. Daniela Ponticelli and her crew will call out the Game Stars. One of them is AJ Allen. The other one's our next guest in a second. And when she does that on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, you get a chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. This guy, wearing number 84, returns from the NFL. Scores his first touchdown of the season. He'd be Braden Lennius, as he has 2 catches for 7 yards that amounts to, but the one was the touchdown. Let's go downstairs to our offensive game star, Braden. How are you, bud?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Talk about that touchdown for us. A big third down conversion that gave the Rough Riders a lead at that time.
That play was it hit like we drew it up. We've had it in the last 3 weeks. It's just a simple little sit route, and I kind of gave a little hezzy to kind of move the linebacker off the zone, and I just take off and find an open zone. So Cody and I have hit it in practice before, and it hit like it did. So it just worked out perfect. It was kind of just like muscle memory.
We've seen guys go to the NFL and try out and come back and not be as effective. Weston Dresser was one of the guys that could go both ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't ask him to change his body dimension. Andy Fantuz went, came back. I don't know that he was as good as when he went before he went. I know Jordan Williams-Lambert was, and he came back a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. You come back, how are you feeling? Because they wanted you to put on big weight, and now you're having to get back down to close to that 219 when you left.
Yeah, exactly. This game, I finally felt I got the sea legs from out of me. My legs were finally kind of there. But I'm feeling good. I think this bye week is perfect because I'll get right to where I want to be. But I'm feeling really good. I've heard of those kind of comments of the guys like Fantu, the guys coming back and not being the same. But yeah, I really don't listen to things like that. I'm just gonna continue to play my game and help contribute to this team because I know I can help make a difference. So just keep my head high and keep working.
Okay, so you guys dropped this terrible loss on home turf, 5 in a row. What is going wrong with this team right now, Braden?
I'm not going to say anything's wrong because we have a band of brothers that I love and that I think we all love each other, and we come to work every day ready to fight and work. We just have to be more detailed and focused, and those little things are going to amount to big things. And if we focus on those, it's only going to take us the right way. So I think this week that we have off is going to be a good reset to just come back. People see their families, and then we're going to come back to work ready because I know we got a resilient group in this locker room that is going to fight and claw and scratch. So we're never going to give up, and this is just going to add another chip on our shoulder.
Okay, so I've not only heard this from you, I've heard it from other people, including your coach, and I just got to bring this up, okay? And I'm asking this as a reporter, not in the locker room.
Yeah.
And you weren't here all year, so fairness to you, you get a bit of a pass. But when you guys keep talking at, what are we at here? We're at 6-8 now. We got 4 games left or 5 games left, and we're talking about lack of focus or a technique needs to be better.
Yep.
Isn't that troubling this late in the season?
No, I mean, yes, it's yeah. I guess you could say it is troubling, but no one's perfect, and you can only work to try to be perfect. But it's yes, that's been happening. It's been the five in a row, whatever. But we can't let those define us. It's just got to be a reset and a refocus, because that's really the only thing that makes you successful, is if you really dial it in and really pay attention to what we got to do better, and we got to do better as a collective group, because that's going to get us those wins.
Okay, you can only take care of yourself, so my last question to you is, yep, what do you got to do, Braden Lenius, on the other side of this break to continue your progress and I really think hit the ground running? When everybody else might be getting tired, you should just be picking up speed.
100%, and it's coming, like I said, it's coming at the perfect time, and this week is going to give me the ability to get right where I need and come back strong. I got to be more physical at the point of attack of the ball when I'm making those big body plays over the middle, because that's got to be my game, and I'm just going to focus on that and just continue to get better and keep working on myself. So I got a lot left in the tank for these boys, and I'm gonna keep fighting.
Well, he scored a nice touchdown today that was the looked like might be the knockout punch, and fortunately Edmonton comes down and wins the game. But it's nice to have you back here, man. Enjoy the bye week. We'll talk to you on the other side.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
That's the offensive game star, Braden Lenius. Okay, Luke, some closing thoughts from you on this game. You've said a lot, but just reiterate. Well, no, it's good. You're colorful and you're passionate, and rightfully so. You probably echo what a lot of people are thinking. Just your thoughts now on this football team as we go to bye week. Do you have much hope for this team?
The last four games for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are Winnipeg once, Calgary twice, and
Hamilton.
A dyslexic Hamilton team.
But we never play well in Hamilton.
Yeah, in a very tough building to get a win.
And they're going to be hungry. They're in desperation mode.
Here's the thing. In those four games, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have to find a way to protect the quarterback. They have to find a way to stop the run now. They have to find a way to cross the goal line with the football. They did it twice today, but prior to that, they hadn't done it in two games, right? And they have to be playing their best football, because whoever they play in the playoffs will be. I can guarantee you that. So you've got to play your best football heading into the playoffs. All of that stuff. And you got to be Calgary twice, and you got to play Winnipeg. Like, that's not a formula for getting back on the right track.
Sounds
right?
Golden to me.
So listen, hey, you just got to go on a run that nobody sees coming but the guys in the locker room.
Well, they say they got the guys, so we'll see what they can do.
They're saying all the right things, Balzi.
Yeah, got to show
They're
it.
They're saying all the right things. But again, this is a business first.
Yeah.
And today will be the first day where all of the questions towards the front office, the coaching staff, logistically, administratively, they'll be deserved. Today they're deserved.
Thanks for your time, man.
Yep,
appreciate that. Luke Molinar with some great closing thoughts here. We'll take a break and be back to wrap up in a moment. This is the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to Harvard Studio 620, where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders lose to the Edmonton Elks by a count of 26-24. Some remarkable stats. Riders have dropped five straight on home turf. They're 2-7 since July 14th. Worst record in that stretch in the CFL. They're now 6-8. Edmonton is 4-10. 4-4 on the road and 0-4 at home. They've lost 14 consecutive at Commonwealth, which is unbelievable. When you used to go to Edmonton, you knew it was a W for Edmonton and a loss for you. So that's just crazy what's going on. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are in big time turmoil right now. Maybe the bye comes at a great time. Before we wrap things up here, I do want to mention our affiliates and all the great operators on the Rough Rider Radio Network helping to get the signal out behind the scenes. I don't have their names, but they are operating at these stations. GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, 1050 CJNB North Battleford, 102.3 FM CJNS Meadow Lake, 900 CKBI Prince Albert, 750 Beaches Radio Melford, and your flagship station for Rough Riders football is 620 CKRM. Want to thank my audio tech upstairs in the home booth, Ryan McNally, did a great job. Sean Kleisinger, our operator for most of the game, does a great job. Colson Schultz taking over for him for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Of course, we want to thank our engineering staff, Harley, Ryan, and Curtis, for doing a great job behind the scenes. I want to thank Pete Pasco for the halftime huddle, along with Rob Vanstone. And then, of course, we had Wes Cates, Don Hewitt, and Daniela Ponticelli on the pregame show and also the postgame show. I want to thank John Hoffman, our outstanding stats man. Dude's 83 going on 45. Quick as a whip, in great shape, and always puts me in my place because I'm wrong a lot of times. I should always listen to John. Like the fumble on the goal line when I thought it was a fumble. It was a fumble, but I said the Riders are going to get it because Sankey has the ball. He said, nope, they're going to say that forward progress was stopped and then the fumble, or they're going to say you couldn't prove that the fumble went to Sankey, and that's exactly what happened. Edmonton would go on to score a touchdown. I thought it was kind of a bogus setup, but hey, my man, John Hoffman, was right. Okay, a reminder. This game is done. It's the first of football weekend in Saskatchewan. We've got the Edmonton Elks and Riders wrapping up here, 26-24 for Edmonton. Tomorrow, 12:45, pregame show, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Regina Thunder and the Saskatoon Hilltops Thunder are undefeated. Hilltops on the verge of losing three straight for the first time since, who knows, since they started wearing helmets. Saskatoon's always been a good football team for as long as I can remember. So that game goes 1-4. Sean Kleisinger, our producer slash announcer, slash play-by-play guy, gets to call his first ever game. So he will call the game with Ryan Hall. And then the nightcap has Pete Pasco and Daniela Ponticelli on the call. 2-0 Regina against 2-0 U of S. The U of R Rams against the U of S Huskies. That should be a ring-a-ding-dong dandy, as the old Saskatchewanian Ed Whalen used to say. And we've got a special sports cage in between those two games. You'll have Craig Dickinson join me, Craig Reynolds join me, Murad El-Khatib, the president of the Regina Thunder, Rams head coach Mark McConkey, Sean Kleisinger, Daniela Ponticelli, and you can stop by and say hi too. Make sure you get your tickets and support the Stars of tomorrow. Today, it's football weekend in Saskatchewan, and it's a presentation of our good friends at SaskTel. They're rolling out the green carpet for the Grey Cup Festival and football weekend in Saskatchewan. By the way, I just saw Garrett Marino, who was cut by the Riders, put out a tweet. Karma's a bee is what he said. So, little dig at the Riders organization. That will do it for our time here at Harvard Studio 620. I hope Daniela Ponticelli and Don Hewitt have made it through traffic along with Wes Cates, because apparently some smart guy decided to shut down Sask Drive and back up all the traffic. Once again, our final score, 26-24. Stay tuned for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable coming up next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.